say that's usually his signal. But he's like, no, we'll just get him. He's over there.
I'll let them do it how they want to.
I tell you, it's always fun getting started off on the new year. We're a fellowship class of people, aren't we? I'm telling you. Well, hey, look around, give somebody a wave and say, I hadn't seen you since last year. So good to see each of you guys as we start off a new year in 2026. I know there's been a whole lot of things taking place, and as the old boy says, a whole lot of water under the bridge, even over the last couple weeks through Christmas and through New Year's. If you are part of our online audience, we are so tickled to have you with us. As always, we get you to say hello to Dr. John Cazito. I call him our online minister. He's the one who takes care of things online so that you know you have a voice in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist. You're just as much a part of us as if you were here. Although we'd rather you be here, we're glad for those that can't that you have a way by which to be able to join us today. So we're so glad to see each and every one of you this morning in the Lord's house as some of us go racing into the new year and some of us go hobbling into the new year. But at any rate, God is good. All the time. God really is good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, again, we're grateful and thankful that you have given us life, you have given us a new day, and Lord, you have given us an opportunity by which to be able to come together around your word. Father, those with like hearts that are like-minded to gather here today, we pray, Father, as always, that we will have an opportunity to meet you in your word. We know that we will because you've made us that promise that as we've gathered together, you are here in the midst. So help us, Lord, to put aside any distractions that would hinder us from being able to hear your word to each of us today. Lord, thank you for fellowship. Thank you for love. And thank you for the opportunities to be able to hug on somebody's neck today, to look at them, give them a smile. And Lord, what we receive out of that, Lord, is I don't know if it's better to give or receive, but I can tell you one thing, the love and the fellowship together, even in your house today, has just been incredible. So, Father, right now, I pray that you will continue to speak to our hearts. May this time be dedicated truly to you and help us to put aside anything that might hinder us from hearing what it is that you have for us this very day. And Lord, help us to make decisions that we will be proud we made when we stand before you. As Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm just looking to make sure I will go ahead and say this. If you hadn't had a chance to contribute to Lottie Moon, it's not too late yet. You can still get that to us. That is our offering for foreign missions. If you need any help with that, just let us know. We'll make sure that that gets taken care of. And Brad's going to come lead us as we worship today.
Sing "To God Be the Glory," number 4. Sing our next hymn, number 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let me say today we start up practice again at 4:45, so we'd love to have folks come check out choir if you want to. If you've been thinking about it, we'd love to have you. 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever.
Faithfulness indeed. This morning, if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me if you would. This past week, I was thinking, and particularly as I was preparing this message, which you'll hear and see in just a moment, but I was thinking back to not only my past, but I was thinking about this past month, having the opportunity to travel to Israel. And one of the fellows that we got to meet was a fellow by the name of Itamar Alice. And he was a police officer. I believe that I mentioned to you that he was a police officer that lived in a little community that was called Fakim. I had to look to make sure I said that right, because certain letters in Hebrew don't don't get pronounced or don't sound like what we think they are, but Fakim was where he was. I think I may have mentioned that in that terrorist attack, there were 33 in his neighborhood that actually died at the hands of terrorists that day. And he and a few others pretty much single-handedly held off a wave of terrorists that came through that neighborhood. And as we had that chance to meet with him, as we had that chance to hear his story, obviously he had some post-traumatic stress disorder over that situation because, you know, I think he killed five or six people protecting those in his neighborhood. And I still remember what one of the guys was trying to encourage him, not our guys, but one of the folks from there, and they said, "But look how many terrorists you killed." And he said, "I prefer not to be looked at as how many terrorists that I killed, but I prefer to be looked at and how many people I had a chance to save." Boy, that's a that is a better way to be able to look at it. So I had a chance to pray with him, and very young fella. He has, I think it's three children and a wife, very, very young man. I received word through our channels of communication back in Israel that that on the 3rd, it was exactly 1 month from the day that we had a chance to meet with him, he passed away from a health issue. So I'm asking you to keep his family in your prayer. Again, his name is Itamar Alice, and just keep his family in your prayers. Just been through so much along the way. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there's a reason. By the way, I have his story. His story of defending the neighborhood was actually written out in the back as a memorial page of those that didn't make it, and then his efforts to save as many people as he could on that day. I'll try to make that available at some point. Right now, I'm greedy. It's the only one I've got, so I'm not letting it out of my sight until I have some copies of it that I can send out to you. But at any rate, you know, I thought about that as I was looking at these passages in Ezekiel. As we think about entering into a new year, we always do that situation where we go back and we evaluate what the year held in the previous year and what things that we might be able to improve upon as we go forward. And I think one of the biggest thing the biggest things that we need to do is that we need to be ever vigilant in our walk about what's around us. We need to be aware of our surroundings. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard that situation? Most of the time you hear it when it comes down to personal safety. Be aware of your surroundings. Now, tell me you've heard that. If not, you've been under a rock. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what is taking place to your left and to your right, because it's better to see something that could be off and be able to get away from it than it is to walk, you know, headlong into it, or have a situation where you could have escaped had you been paying a little bit of attention, okay? So I want to apply that principle not only to our physical well-being, but also our spiritual well-being. We need to be aware of what is going on around us. We need to keep a diligent watch. We need to carry forth efforts. So in this ever-changing world, the role of the watchman remains a critical role. I can remember times as a police officer, and I've said this before, most of the time we were reactive. We were going someplace because something had already happened and we were being called to that place. But I can also remember my days as a security guard. And a lot of times people would sit back and go, "Security guard, woo, Paul Blart's on the scene," okay? So whatever it may be. But here was the difference. As a security guard, it was my job to keep a watch over that property, to keep a watch over what was taking place, to not be asleep at the wheel, to make sure that dark corners were lit, to make sure that nobody was encroaching on the territory. So I had that one specific job, particularly as a night watchman. Now, society may change, but the call to warn people to watch out for what's taking place around them continues to persist, especially when it comes down to spiritual matters. Now, today we're going to look at some passages in Ezekiel 33, particularly verses 1 through 7, where the prophet Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman for the house of Israel. Now, that's a pretty big task, isn't it? He is appointed watchman not for a simple location, not just for one particular place, but for the house of Israel. He has been given a command. So he is appointed as a watchman over the house of Israel. And think about the responsibility that that would carry with it, the spiritual insight that would need to be associated with this particular role. So look with me, if you would, Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Ezekiel 33, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head." Verse 5, "He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, help us, Lord, to understand the seriousness of your call. Lord, help us to understand the appointment of the watchman. Lord, help us to be ever mindful that with it goes a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. So, Father, today I pray that we would not only hear your word, but that we would heed your word, that your word would become alive in our hearts and in our minds, not just this day, but each and every day. So, Lord, today I pray that you will speak to us. We know that you come to us personally and individually with a message, and I pray that it would be heard today. But Father, I pray it would not be heard from the lips of a mere man, but Father, that the words that come from this pulpit today truly would be your words. Help me, Father. I am nothing and no one without you, but may your word go forward today in a way that is going to be life-changing to your people. So bless the time, Father, that we spend together today is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this particular passage, Ezekiel was the prophet that prophesied during a very turbulent period, and this was when the Israelites were in Babylonian exile. Now, his ministry revolved around announcing judgment as well as offering the hope of restoration in our Lord. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Does any of this sound like anything that you may see today? You know, a person who's has been called to warn of anybody that may be drifting away from the Father, one who is called to tell about his great love and his sacrifice and his salvation, but yet along with it goes a warning. And I think one of the dangers in our society today is that we no longer heed the word of the Lord as a warning. Yeah, we've gotten comfortable. We've gotten in the channel, as it were, and every day is just another day. Don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that we're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that we're not worshiping our Lord, but we're not thinking about the consequences that are yet to come as we go forward. So his ministry, you know, this ministry of Ezekiel revolved around announcing judgment. Let me tell you something, folks. You've been hearing judgment from this pulpit since the inception of this church. One thing that I can say I'm very proud about with Central Baptist Church, the gospel has been preached from this pulpit since its inception. And what is the gospel? The truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But it goes further than that. The fact that he is coming again to take us to himself. The fact that he is coming again and he expects us to live a life that is pleasing to him, that represents the family well. There are warnings that go out with the message of salvation, because with the message of salvation comes also the message of judgment. Now, we don't like to hear that. this is a different kind of a generation, especially a younger generation. The younger generation really likes to hear about how God is love. And he is. They paint this picture of God being this granddaddy that you can crawl up into his lap and put your arms around him and hug on him. And he's always going to have candy in his pocket. And he is. But let me tell you what else he is. He's also the same God that will spank your tail when you get out of line. And so we don't like to hear that today. We don't like to hear that there's judgment that goes along with the love of God. So, you know, this was Ezekiel's position, was to be able to not only preach the judgment, but to offer the fact that there is restoration for Israel. So God himself appointed Ezekiel as the watchman to communicate these divine warnings to the people. Does that sound familiar today? Folks, let me tell you something. There's all kinds of preachers in this world, but there's only one kind of preacher that finds any sort of success, and that is the one who is called by God. That is the one who can't do anything other than preach the gospel, plain and simple. Now, I know a lot of times people would sit back and say, well, I know this guy, and he does all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to do something else for the rest of your life and be satisfied and fulfilled. You know, I still consider myself young, although I'm beginning to get some pushback on that from a lot of people, including my body. But I will say this, you know, some of the younger pastors have come and said, well, what piece of advice would you give to a pastor that would be entering the ministry today? And I said, well, let me give you two pieces of advice that I think are paramount for entering the ministry today. I said, number one is this: if you can do anything else in this life and be content and satisfied and fulfilled, then you better go do it, because God has not called you to preach. Because a preacher called of God will not be satisfied with anything other than that. The preacher that is called by God actually has a problem when there is a weather cancellation on Sunday, because you feel useless. You feel like you have been the most useless person. I can still remember back 25 to 30 years ago, there was a time when we had some snow in the Triad area, and it was a lot of snow. It wasn't none of this little skiff and stuff. It was get the sled out, we're going to have a ball, we're going to have all kinds of fun in the snow. The problem was, most people, not because of church's fault, but because the Department of Highways down here doesn't know how to clear snow, because we don't have stuff to do it with. So nobody could go anywhere, nobody could do anything on Sunday, so we missed a Sunday. Then what happened was, guess what happened the next week? It snowed again. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all remember that? I'm talking like 18 to 20 inches worth of snow, not this little stuff, the good stuff. Well, guess what we couldn't do again? We couldn't have church again. I just felt like the most useless person on the face of the planet. I felt like I was not doing what I had been put on this earth to do. It was awful. It was terrible. It was like a drug addict getting a fix the first time I got to preach again. I mean, it was just like, oh, here we go. Why? You see, so there's number one. If you can do anything else on this planet and be content and satisfied, then go ahead and do it. And number two is this: you better get some thick skin. I'll tell you one thing, we got some mamby-pambies coming out of seminary today. And that's a nice way to say it. Because let me tell you something, when you preach the gospel, the world is coming after you. And if you're going to fold up and crawl up under a bench and say, you made fun of me, then this job ain't for you and you ain't been called to do it. You better generate some thick skin, because when you preach the gospel, the world's coming after you. Plain and simple. Satan is relentless. He's not going to stop. That's my two pieces of advice for the watchman on the wall. You better be up to speed. You better have your eyes dialed in. You better be watching the horizon for what's taking place, because do you realize that is a pastor's job in this society today? It is my job, as God has called me and appointed me the watchman over Central Baptist Church. And that means your life. Do you realize that when you are a part of a church, you are placing yourself voluntarily under the authority of a pastor to watch for your soul? To watch for your soul. Now, I didn't say to sit there and dictate your life. I said to watch for your soul. So you know what that means? That means that I get to stand on the top of Central Baptist Church and scan the horizon. But you know what I'm scanning the horizon for? Not some way to interfere in your life, but I'm scanning the horizon for the beast, the roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. And you know what happens sometimes is, you know, sometimes little immature Christians, and I don't say that in a bad way. We all started somewhere, didn't we? Little immature Christians want to go pet the lion. Not a good thing to do. So you know what happens? When old Roy sees the lion, he needs to sound the trumpet. He needs to let you know, everybody know. Listen, there's a lot of things the trumpet needs to be sounded about in our society today. Our society is walking away from a biblical worldview. We are accepting things that the Bible never, ever said to be accepted. And I'm not talking about shades of gray. I am talking about plain old black and white. Thou shalt not and enter it. What the Bible says. So do you understand the picture? I'm going to give you this whole sermon in the next minute or two. And here's how you do it. I am to watch here. I am to watch there. I'm to watch over your lives as called by God, specifically placed here to do this. And my job is to sound the warning. Here comes a lion. Y'all better be careful. And you know what's happening in our society today? People aren't listening to the watchmen anymore. People aren't listening to the warnings anymore. And what instead they want to do is they want to go pet the lion. And petting the lion is more important than heeding the warning of the watchman on the wall. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, most people would realize that lions, particularly wild ones, you're not going to go pet them. Let me tell you what they look at you as. Dinner. You picking up what I'm putting down? And you're like, oh, he looks so soft, and he's so adorable, and look how he's holding up his gums so you can see those big white teeth. And I'm sitting there going, don't touch the lion. Get away. Extend. Get back. Live for another day. And the thing about it is, I can't make that choice for you. Only you can make that choice. So let me tell you what Ezekiel 33 is talking about here. Ezekiel 33 is saying this. He's saying, Roy, I called you to be a pastor. I called you to be the watchman on the wall. I called you to sound the warning. And as you sound the warning, listen, if you are asleep at the wheel, I'm going to hold you responsible. If you're sleeping on duty, I'm going to hold you responsible. I remember I used to love playing games with my commander when I worked security third watch because he loved playing games too. See, what he used to like to try to do was he used to try to sneak up on these properties where you were working and surprise you. You see, because if he could sneak up on you, guess what that meant? You weren't watching. You weren't paying attention. You were not being vigilant in your efforts. So he used to try to catch all the angles where the cameras weren't, but I would always catch him. And I still remember one day he came in, he slipped in a side door and went through a conference room, and he's sneaking down the hall trying to get back up to where the security place was, and he couldn't find me for anything. So guess what he does next? He calls me on the radio, and he says, where are you? I said, oh, I followed you from the parking lot, through the conference room, down the hall, past shipping, through the IT room, and back up to the security area. I'm standing right behind you. He didn't like that. But guess what? I was watching. I was watching what was taking place. I was watching what was going on. So here's what God says. Roy, you sound the warning. Sin is bad. Jesus Christ paid it all on Calvary's cross. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you and I have an opportunity for eternal life. But here's where the rubber meets the road. You have a choice you have to make when it comes down to Jesus. You're either going to accept him or reject him. That is not rocket science, is it? That is not PhD level theology. You have a choice to make. You either receive him or you don't. The choice is yours. But you know what the Lord says? The Lord says this, Roy, I have called you to herald the message. And because I stand today and preach this message to you, before you leave this place today, you are going to have a choice that you will make to either choose Jesus or not choose him. But if you walk away from here without Jesus and you find yourself in an eternity in hell, your blood will not be on my hands. You know why? Because the Lord said, Roy, you did your job. You were the watchman on the wall. You announced it. You watched out for the things that were coming to try to destroy people. And you warned them about them. But you can't make the choice for them. Man, don't you wish you could just make choices for people sometime? Y'all probably heard this before too. You've probably even used it. You have said, there are sometimes I just wanted to grab that person and just slap the taste right out of their mouth. You ever been there? Yeah. But you can't make a choice for someone. But the Lord says this, not only for me, this is also for you. You are the watchman that God has placed in your families. You are the watchman God has placed in your communities. And all you have to do is observe and report. This is what I see. But you know how you see the bad things coming? You got to know that there are bad things coming. And how do you know those things? You need to get involved in the Word of God. We're not getting blindsided. The Holy Spirit is sitting back going, if this don't look good. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life and I've looked at something and gone, And then you know what the Lord has said? The Lord said, let me give it to you in a simple country boy way, Roy. If it looks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, then it must be a duck. Duh. He says, I've given you everything that you need. Watch out, folks. I cannot preach hard enough that you and I need to stop playing games with the future. We need to stop playing games with our spirituality. We need to stop playing the world's game. And we need to preach Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. And you need to make the right choice. See, that was the, you heard the King James way of saying it, but you heard Roy's way of explaining it. The Lord says, I have called you to do this, and with that call becomes a responsibility, and I'm going to hold you, Roy, responsible for what you preach from that pulpit. But he also says this. He says, to you, the listener, he says, there's some responsibility to you as well. You are responsible for the content of the warning. You need to listen to what is taking place. Remember what he said? He said, if the watchman on the wall sounds the horn and everybody takes to safety, well done. But what happens is when you go to pep the line and the watchman is standing on the wall and he's blowing the horn and you're just sitting there going, oh, he's just one of those guys. He's just one of the, he don't want us to have no fun. He just doesn't want us to enjoy this. And you wind up getting eaten, that's on you. That's on you. But here's the thing. Is it worth all of eternity in hell to be not correct? Is it worth it? Is are these few years on this earth worth it? Yeah, I really like to sit back and think about eternity as shown forth in one of the greatest hymns that we've sang in churches over the years. And that is Amazing grace. But think about it. Look, go to the last. Everybody knows the last verse. We sing the last verse, don't we? Baptists don't know how to count. If there's five verses in something, we'll sing one, two, and five. We don't know that there's three and four. We just, isn't it right, Vicky? Brad, yeah, we don't sing all of them. So some third verses y'all look at and go, I've never heard that before. I've been in church my whole life. But we know verse five, or it's four or five. I'm not sure which one it is. It's the last one, verse five. So the last verse, verse five, says this. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years. How many of y'all in here are 10,000 years old? I didn't ask you how many of you felt like you were 10,000 years old. None of us in here are 10,000 years old. We cannot even fathom 10,000 physical earthly years, can we? No, we can't. That's eternity. But then it goes on, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, what is the next part? We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So after that first 10,000, you get another 10,000. And then another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and on, and on, and on. We cannot wrap our mind around what eternity is like. Are you willing to gamble? And I'm just going to use, I'm going to use the age 70. You know why? Because the Bible says 70. That 70 is 60 plus 10 is 70. So if you get 70 years out of this life, how does that compare to the first 10,000? I'm just going to say the first 10,000, or the second, or the third, or the fourth. It is, yet what is it the Bible says? It says that life is but a vapor that appeareth for a short while, then vanisheth away. So if you're sitting there watching your tea kettle on the stove, or you're boiling your pasta for lunch or dinner tonight, and you see a little wisp of steam come up and it just dissipates into the air, that's what your life is like in the scheme of all of eternity. Are you willing? Are you willing to risk it all to pet the lion? Are you willing to risk it all to sit back and say, I'm gonna live my life my way? Eternity. And see, the thing about it is, the Lord says, I have placed watchmen on the wall to warn you. That's about the salvation part. But the watchman also warns the believers of the wolf in sheep's clothing. And the thing about it is, we have to heed that warning. You know what the biggest problem is? Remember why I tell the young preacher he's got to get thick skin? Here's why. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants the preacher to come to their house and say, look, I need to talk with you because of this that's going on. Because then all of a sudden, we're being nosy. Then all of a sudden, this is what's taking place. All of a sudden, this is what is going on. No, it's not. It's because we're sounding the alarm that we're reading about in Ezekiel 33. The alarm is being sounded, but you have a choice. And let me tell you, here's the thing about it. What breaks the heart of the watchman is to watch you get eaten by the lion when you've been warned. That, my friend, is heartbreaking. When you're sitting there going, stop, don't, look out, look, I can see God has given me the biblical eyes to see what's going on. You have got to be careful. That's not a real sheep. That's a wolf. Stop it. Get away. Move back. Extend. Now, one of two things happens. You either do that and survive, or you go forward and you don't. How heartbreaking is it for the watchman to see the attacks happen on the people that they've been warned about? Folks, we need to decry it from every pulpit in America that we need to get back to God, period. Because we're slipping away from it. And you know what's bothering me? No, listen, I'm not this great mega church pastor or anything like that, but I'll tell you this, I don't care to be if I have to get up and preach some feel-good message to somebody. Yeah, I sit back and think of people who have a platform of thousands and thousands of people that they talk to on a weekly basis, but never warn them. They never sound the trumpet from the wall. Now listen, I'm not here to beat you up. You do what you do because you love somebody. You know that. Maybe there was a time in your life when you heard, you know, or as a child, and you were sitting back going, my mom and dad won't let me ride my bicycle in the road. They just don't want me to have any fun. No, you're out there on a four-lane highway. People are driving 90 miles an hour. They're not going to see you. It is idiotic for you to go out there and try to ride your bicycle. But the pavement's smooth, and you just don't want me to have any fun. Is that why you don't want Junior to ride on the highway? You see, you don't want Junior to ride on the highway because you don't want Junior to get killed. But you see, often Junior doesn't understand that, does he? Often Junior thinks you're trying to be a spoil sport. You don't want me to have any fun. You're just a killjoy. No, they're sounding the warning from the wall. And we must heed the warning. Now remember what it says. You got to be careful that you don't miss what the consequences are, because there are consequences. Again, we're living in a world that everybody thinks there's no consequence for what they do. There are consequences. The Lord tells us in Ezekiel 33, he says this, if you listen to the warning, all will be well with you. He says, if you listen to that warning and you are spared from the danger, that's keeping in mind the warning has been sounded. He said, then you're going to be blessed. He said, but if you don't and you've been warned and you still go do this, there are consequences. They can be deadly consequences. They can be spiritual death as well as physical death by ignoring the call. So what is it that the Lord is saying in these particular passages to me, the watchman? He says, you better be sounding the warning. That is your job. I've given you one job, Roy. You are the town crier. You know what? This is kind of what generation I'm in. As I was reading this and as the Lord was speaking to my heart in it, you know what it reminded me of? Paul Revere. Now, most of y'all in here understand who Paul Revere is because you're my people. And what did Paul Revere do? Paul Revere made the ride. And then he made that ride, riding through the towns and riding through the streets. And what was he heralding? He was saying, what? The British are coming. The British are coming. Do you realize what he was doing? He was warning the people that they may be ready. He was seeing what's going on. Let me tell you something, folks. Fast forward that. You understand Paul Revere. Roy is standing before you today with a cry saying, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you ready salvation-wise? Are you ready walk-wise? Because you know, someday I am going to stand before the Master. And I'm not going to hear him say to me, you know what, Roy? You had a perfect opportunity at Central Baptist Church to preach the gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection. But you didn't. You were too busy trying to please people and fill up pews. That's not what I called you to do. And oh, by the way, all the people that turned through Central Baptist that didn't hear the gospel message, that are spending eternity in hell, that's your fault, Roy. Because you didn't herald the cry. Their blood will be on your hands. I'm not going to hear that. Because I'm going to tell everybody I know about Jesus Christ and about salvation through him. That when I stand before the Master, I will do so with clean hands. See, I don't want to see anybody go to hell, but I'll tell you this. I feel like that somewhere along the line, there will be somebody who will not heed the call, who I will see in that crowd, who will say, I should have listened to what you had to say. My response is going to be not what I had to say, what the Father had to say. I am simply a messenger. And I'm here today to tell you, I don't care what society's got going on, don't care how far advanced we are, don't care about all these things. Jesus is coming soon. And you're either ready or you're not. There's no middle ground to that question. You either believe in him and have trusted him, or you haven't. You are either on your way to heaven or you are on your way to hell. I can't make it any more plain than that. Does everybody understand what I'm saying today? Okay, good. Because would to God that every person in this room, when you walk out of that door today, do so knowing that if you drew your last breath, you will spend eternity in heaven with our Lord. And I'll see you when I get there. I know some people I'm ready to have some conversation with. I have a feeling I got a crowd up in heaven that's going, come on, boy, you can do it. I got faith in you. Tell them about this place. It's wonderful. It's everything the Bible said it would be and more. Nothing on earth is worth losing your salvation over. Nothing. And I want to be able to see each and every one of you there. I ask that question a lot of times to people. I'll say, listen, tell me about your salvation. You know why? Because you know what? Unfortunately, I wind up burying a lot of people. I wind up being the person standing here at their funeral service. I want to be able to give a positive celebration of life, saying, I know where you are. Saying, I know, they told me they've trusted Jesus. Their life reflected that they trusted Jesus. That is the only thing that matters in this life. And I will make you a promise, though. If you get that right, everything else can be right. That doesn't mean it's a rose garden. Listen, walking a Christian life is a tough experience. You're going to get talked about. You're going to get left out of things. You know why? Because people unsaved people doing stupid things feel uncomfortable around you. Good. That means you got a good testimony. Well, let's go do this, but let's not invite Roy. Well, why? Well, because he doesn't do stuff like that. Okay, good. Don't invite Roy because I'm not going to go do stuff like that. But let me tell you what's even more fun. I get invited to go do stuff by y'all who do the really cool, fun things, who get to serve, who go on mission trips, who help other people out, who just love on one another. What a great, great place to be. So do you get, I know that sometimes in the King James it sounds a little bit tongue-tied-ish. But that's basically what the Lord's saying. He's saying, Roy, you're the watchman on the wall. You're supposed to warn the people. And he says, but to the people, you need to understand that once the warning goes out, you're responsible for what you do with it. If you get eaten up by the lion, that's your problem. You heard the warning. You'll be responsible for it. If you hear the warning and you backpedal, then thanks be to God. Now, let me give you the sermon really quick because I'm out of time. Verses 1 through 3 in our text today establishes the role of the watchman, a person chosen by the people at that particular point to watch for danger and to sound the alarm. In this case, it's God Almighty. Then in verses 4 and 5, the responsibility shifts to the listener. If they fail to heed the warning, their peril is self-inflicted. You've done it to yourself. You didn't listen. Verse 6 clarifies the severe implications for the watchman who neglects his duty. The blood of the fallen is on his hands. You don't think that's heavy? Every time you get up to preach a sermon, you don't think that's a pretty heavy marching order, isn't it? In verse 7, God directly charges Ezekiel with this role. And this is emphasizing the accountability of delivering his message. That's what I got. That's what I've got. That's what I've done for 33 going on 34 years. Preach the God. That's all we've got. You know what? And yet, we at times can get so caught up in the merits of artificial versus real flowers. We can get caught up in whether or not we are incandescent LED bulbs or the yellow ones. Stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. And yet, we have people dying and going to hell every day. Hey, listen, I'm thankful for what we've got. I'm not saying those things don't have their place, because they do. Y'all are sitting here nice and comfortable. Probably so comfortable, some of you are probably ready to go to sleep. Couldn't be me. It's got to be them soft pews. I'm going to recommend to the building and grounds that we take all the padding off the pews. Let's go back to them old country pews. Let's get rid of the heat and let's put a potbelly stove in here and get somebody to chunk her up. You got to get that smoke smell going. How many of y'all remember those days? They weren't bad days, were they? They were good days. The passage that we're looking at today underscores that there is divine accountability. Get this. God holds individuals responsible not only for their action, but also their omissions. Did you get that? Let me give that to you one more time. God holds individuals responsible not only for their actions, but also for their omissions. How many times have you ever been in a situation and somebody said, well, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything in this situation. And you could say, and they sit back and say, well, no, you didn't pick on that person, but you didn't defend them either. See, our inaction is also something that is seen by the Lord. Our omission, this notion of personal and communal responsibility is central to understanding God's justice and God's mercy. It highlights God's desire for his people to be vigilant, to be proactive, and to be responsive to his word. So, my question is this. How are we doing when it comes down to that? We're getting ready to, well, we've already entered a new year. We're not getting ready to. It's here. It's kicking and screaming. We're 4 days in already. How does this look in the new year? As modern day believers, we inherit the watchman's responsibilities to live faithfully, to raise the warning against spiritual dangers in our lives and the lives of others, and to guide others towards God's truth. Our lives should reflect spiritual vigilance, prompting us to be able to share God's message and be exemplary in our conduct. That's what it should do. It should move us to do that. Practically, this involves prayerful reflection, active listening to God's word, and courageously standing for righteousness. That's what it's all about. Courageously standing for righteousness. I've seen that even more and more over this whole political. You know, I hate to get political, but you know what? I mean, some things cross into political realms. This whole thing with Israel, the anti-Semitism, the things that we're hearing today is that even evangelicals are no longer standing with Israel when the Bible commands us to do so. You got to stand firm. You got to preach it like it is. Got to get that thick skin. You know what? I look at it like this. You can disagree with me biblically all you want to. And in other words, what that means, I'm going to prove it to you by Scripture. So you have all of the right in the world that you want to be wrong in your philosophy. Because I'm going to back it up with what this says. So you can be wrong. And someday you're going to find out I was right. Not because of who I am, but because of who this is. That's the earmark. Listen, I am fallible. I make mistakes. And I know y'all are going, no. Yeah, you know I make mistakes. This does not. It doesn't make mistakes. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7 calls us to evaluate our role as spiritual watchmen. Are we attentive to the shifts in our spiritual lives and in the lives of those that are around us? Are we sounding the trumpet when danger nears? As we embrace this sacred calling that God has given us, may we strive to be vigilant. May we strive to be faithful. And may we strive to be bold in delivering God's message of hope and His message of salvation to a lost and dying world. I hope and pray that you will. I hope and pray that you will join me as we do that, as we go in to this new year. Sometimes I worry. Sometimes I see. I still sit back and say, well, I'm young. I don't have a right to do that. And I still love what an old saint professor said one. He said, you're not as young as you used to be. And that was 10 years ago. I said, no, I feel young. He said, and then he said this. He's just a great guy about facing the facts. He said, matter of fact, just recently, he said, how long have you been preaching? I said, well, 33 going on 34 years. He said, do you realize most people retire after a 30-year career in anything else? He says, I think it's safe to say that you don't have as much tread on the tires as you used to, which means you do have a right to say a few things to some of them younger guys. I'm like, look, man, I just want to finish well. I just want to finish well. Everybody can start good, but let's finish well. And just because things don't look like success as the world defines success does not mean that it's not success in the eyes of the Father. I said this to a guy not long ago who was just really having a tough time in ministry. And he said, I just feel like a failure. I said, really? Why? He began to explain why. And he said, you know, I've been beating on this thing for 4 or 5 years. And he said, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. He said, yeah, we've had some folks here and there get saved and a few got baptized and this and that. And, you know, and I was looking, I said, really? I said, let me ask you a question. I said, would you categorize Noah as a failure? He said, well, absolutely not, man. We're reading about him millennia later. Why would you say that? I said, because do you realize that Noah preached for 125 years and the only people that accepted the Lord was his family? And they probably felt sorry for him. But yet God didn't consider him a failure because he was faithful and he was obedient. You be faithful, you be obedient. Because let me make a promise that I can say that I know and understand, and this is simply this: the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will we remain faithful? God's not done with us, but he says you better be listening to the warnings from the wall, because if you don't, that's on your head, that's on your hands. What will you do? Will you be faithful? Will you be obedient? I'm going to ask Brad, our musicians, to take their places. And simple, hey, remember what I've been preaching about today. The cry has been heralded. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You must trust in him. Have you given your life to him? Is the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart's door? Right now is the time. It is your choice. The warning is being decried from the pulpit today. Will you trust Jesus? It's your choice. You will either heed the warning or you will not. If you desire to heed his warning, you can simply pray right where you are. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Lord, come into my life. Save my soul. Forgive my sin. Now, Lord, help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, that's the start. That's the handshake. That is you answering the call. But there's more to it. He wants you to be a part of the family. Are you part of the family? And don't sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go out of here with all the boxes checked and I'm done. No, you're missing out. I love what Eden Gary said this morning. He said, it's just something about being together with God's people to be able to love on each other. Got a new knee and still here today. Why? Because it's important. Are you heeding the call? Listen, maybe you're here today and you've just been on cruise control. You have been hearing the warnings for so long that it just sounds like background noise now. But you have been lucky. I'm not going to say blessed. You've been lucky not to be devoured. Now is the time to heed the warning. Now is the time to hear the Master. Now is the time to return to Him like that prodigal. We're blowing the horn as loud as we can. As loud as we can. Thought about one of these days, I'm going to get Jeff and I'm going to put him up in there one day and just get him to blow the trumpet one Sunday morning and see what people do. Is that the rapture? I'll get me a harness or something, all of a sudden start going up and see what you guys think. Maybe. I heard a guy say this one time. He said, that would scare the hell out of somebody. Now, don't sit there and go, I can't believe the preacher just said that. I meant hell as a literal place. Okay? Listen, what decision do you need to make today? I'm here if you need for me to pray with you. The altar is here, whatever it is. But listen, I want you to make sure that you stand up for Jesus today. If you're part of our online audience, you made a decision for Christ, let Dr. Cazito know. We want to celebrate with you. We're not going to bug you. We're not going to embarrass you. Listen, this is the fun part. This is what it's all about. We want to celebrate you. We're on your side. We're going to back you up. And then when life comes at you and it's tough, we'll stand in front of you and sit back and say, to get to him or her, you're going to have to get through all of us. And I don't think you got that in you, because the God we serve is bigger and greater. Maybe God wants you to be a part of this fellowship. People all the time say, well, how do you do that? What's it mean about being a church member? You come down here and say, Lord, I believe the Lord's leading me to be a part of this church, to work and to serve through it. My question is going to be, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you been baptized by immersion? And if you have, you're either coming by salvation, you've trusted Christ, you're coming by letter of transfer, you've been a member of another church, you transfer your membership here, or you're coming by statement of faith because it's been 40 years and you don't know where your church membership is. That's okay. We'll take you and we'll put you to work. What decisions do you need to make now that you'll be proud you made when you stand before the Father? You make them. Now's the time. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Your heads are bowed as your eyes are closed. As you continue to do business with God, don't let this moment get away from you. Don't let the conviction of the Father. Are you going to stand for Him today, even now, in the midst of the struggle? Will you do what's right? You continue to seek Him. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Our Father, today we give back to you as an act of worship and at your command. Lord, may we truly be found faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things. We'll get you out of here real quick. Birthdays this coming week. Kelly Joyce has a birthday today. So if you get a chance to see Kelly, wish him a happy birthday. Then this coming Saturday, Katie Nelson will be having her birthday. So let Miss Katie know how much you love her and appreciate her. A couple things that we've got going on throughout today. My D group will be meeting at 3:30. We're kicking back off, getting together in the new year. So 3:30 over in the Fellowship Hall 116. Choir practice today, 4:45 right here. Awana, we're kicking back up after Christmas with that as well. 5:30 over in the gym today. And then wind ensemble is not going to be practicing just yet. You're going to get through Christmas. You'll let us know, right? Or get through the new year. But there we go. Jim will let us know when the wind ensemble will practice again. Then Monday, Steve and Mari's D groups both meet. Steve's meets here at 6 o'clock. Mari's meets at 6:30 at their house. So if you're part of those groups, be sure to be there. This coming Tuesday from 2:30 to 7 is our bi-monthly blood drive over in the gym. If you can help out with that or if you can prepare something, we got the best food at blood drives. I can promise you that. You eat well. So if you can help out in any way, be sure to let me know. I'll get you in touch with Katie or the right person or Judy or somebody who knows the rules, Sandy, all of them. I said, go find Judy. She can tell you about the blood drive works, particularly with the food. We got a bunch of ladies that do the food in a wonderful, wonderful way. So at any rate, we'll definitely be looking forward to that this coming Tuesday. So see what else we got going on. Health and Safety has a meeting on the 11th after the service in FLC 116. So if you're part of Health and Safety, remember that. Ladies Connections, your next meeting is the 7th at 4 o'clock p.m., FLC 116, and then the monthly breakfast is going to be on January the 14th, 9 a.m. at Cagney's. Did I get all that right? Good deal. Okay, so with that, just keep in mind, thank you for your prayers. We want to keep Don Ree in our prayers. It is my understanding that Don Ree has a touch of pneumonia. She is at home, but we want to remember Don Ree. Thank you for the prayers for my mother as well. She is out of the hospital. She is at my sister's in Concord trying to regain her strength. She had flu A and COVID, but she is doing well now. She's out of the hospital just trying to get her strength back to get back in the swing of this thing that's called life. So we've got a lot of people, a lot of this upper respiratory COVID flu stuff is going around. So watch yourself as best you possibly can. Remember Don Ree, thank you for prayers for my mom and continued prayers for her and for all those who just so diligently tune in on Sundays for, like I say, Don Ree, Othenia, Nancy, lots of folks that every week join us online and keep Dr. Cazito company along the way with our online thing. Okay, I have got to make a quick airport run, and as always, I'm behind because I'm long-winded, but I am going to get Steve Kelly. If you would make your way down to the front, I'm going to get Steve to close us out in a word of prayer, and we will look. By the way, we will not have adult Bible study tonight. Continue to pray. Donna is home, but continuing to do physical therapy with her at home, so that's a good plus and a positive. So remember David and Donna. It's always good to see Gary back with us. Had his knee replaced, and Miss Emily has kept him in line. He looks wonderful, and thank you for Emily, and what a wonderful opportunity to see Gary back with us today. So anyway, I've got a jet out of here, but I will see you tonight if you're part of Awana at 5:30. Steve Kelly, see us off in a word of prayer, brother.
Pray. Most heavenly and gracious Father, thank you for this message in Ezekiel about being watchmen on the wall. Help us all to go out of here with a renewed spirit to witness for you and share that news of Jesus Christ's salvation with others. But we ask now that you just go with us. Continue to be with us. Help us to be witnesses for you day by day as we are watchmen on the wall. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.